Scripture reading for today is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 2, reading from the 42nd verse to the 47th verse. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they, meaning the disciples, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received the food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Church, shall we rise together for the gospel reading? The Holy Gospel, according to St. Mark, in the second chapter, beginning with verse 1. Glory to Christ, our Savior. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters, this morning we are really blessed to have with us as our preacher this morning, none other than Pastor Andrew Gardner, who has been our conference speaker for the past 3 days. It's been so wonderful to have you, Pastor Andrew. For those who were not at the conference, Pastor Andrew is a senior pastor of the Vine Church in Hong Kong. And if you're ever in Hong Kong, I recommend you go to their church. But today he's bringing us a message which I believe is very prophetic for St. John's and Margaret's Church in the season that we are in, being St. Andrew's Village, SJSM Village, whom God has called to reach out to this Dover community. So put your hands together to welcome Pastor Andrew Gardner.
Thank you. Bless you too. I'm so grateful to Pastor Tek Meng and the clergy and pastors and staff here at SJSM. I was with you at camp last year, so if you were at camp last year, it's great to see you again. I've just been doing this conference with you over the last week, which has been a great time together. I really want to just be clear that there is such a gift at SJSM when it comes to hospitality and to making somebody from another country feel incredibly welcomed here. So you should not take that for granted. I get a chance to travel quite a bit and visit churches around the world, and to be able to come to a church where you open not just the doors of the church, if you will, but you also open your hearts. And it's been a really special time, sacred time for me to be with you just in getting to know you over the last year. So thank you for opening your hearts and welcoming me into your family. I feel like now I have a family in Singapore, which is a good thing to have. And I bring you greetings from God's favorite city in the world, Hong Kong. It's great to have you here. If you're ever in Hong Kong, I would love to invite you to come and visit the Vine Church in Wan Chai. We'd love to host you. As I was praying just for our time together over this weekend, and I really felt like I wanted to bring something that was important for you as a church community. And I want to talk this morning about being a community of faith together. And one of the things that I'm absolutely convinced about is that the local church is the hope of the world. Amen? Okay, we're going to try that one more time. The local church is the hope of the world. Amen? There is something profound that happens when people like us gather in a room like this broken people like us, sinners like us, that gather as these broken jars of clay in a community together, and God shows up and does something that only God can do amongst us. I think there's something that God has done in the gathered community of his people that means that he's wanting his church to rise up in this time to be his voice, his heart, his word of faith, hope, and love to the brokenness of the cultures and the cities and societies around us. And I don't know if you've noticed recently, but we're in an incredibly important time for the global church right now. I mean, the world is in a very challenging time. Economically and politically around the world, there are things happening that are in many ways unprecedented. But I don't know if you've also been hearing the reports of what the Holy Spirit is doing in the church around the world as well, both through Europe, through America, and through Asia. God is doing something different in his church at this time. I believe that there's actually a new wave of God's Spirit and his presence in the church because he's wanting his church to rise up and to be that hope to the world. One of my mentors, a guy by the name of John Perkins, who was a contemporary of Martin Luther King Jr. during the race riots that took place in the U.S. in the 60s, he said this. He said, the church should always be a community of hope wrapped around a community of pain. And I think now more than ever, there's a lot of pain around us. And the question I think that is challenging to us as a church is, are we going to wrap our arms, first of all, around one another, so that we're speaking life into one another? And then are we going to be willing to wrap our arms around the communities of pain around us? And I think one of the significant ways that helps us to do that is the way in which we think when we come into these gatherings that we have together on these weekends. And I want to preach a little bit today about your mindset and the posture of your heart when you come into a time like this. Because we should understand that we don't just casually come to church. Well, if you're anything like me and my family, that happens quite a bit. But we're not supposed to just kind of casually kind of fall into church. I think actually the Holy Spirit wants to light a fire in us that when we come into church each week, we consider it an incredible privilege. That we consider it an incredible privilege that we have the freedom to be able to gather together like this, to worship Jesus, and to hear something of his Spirit and his word amongst us. And so as we come in, the posture of our heart and our mind is turned towards, what can I do today to serve? Because I'm coming into a room filled with incredible people, people with different gifts and backgrounds, different hearts and different situations, and how can I posture myself to be the servant of the people in this room? And I thought, if everybody in church has the mindset to come in and say, who is it today that I can serve? I think the church would be an incredibly different place. I don't know about you, but that would be a church that I would want to be a part of. And in the passage that we're looking at here this morning, I think we see a glimpse of what that church could be like. Let me read this passage to us again that we just heard from the Gospel of Mark. Such a beautiful passage, one of my favorite stories in the Gospels. It's only 5 verses. Let me read again. A few days later, when Jesus entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. I love that, first of all, that expression that Jesus had come home. Jesus had a home. We know that he was actually born in Bethlehem. We know that he was raised in Nazareth. But whilst he was entering into his ministry and teaching around the region of Galilee, he actually made Capernaum his home. And so we're not entirely sure, but we assume that he had a house, a dwelling in Capernaum. And here he is, he's returned after being on some of his teaching tours around Galilee. He's come home to his house. Verse 2, so many people had gathered there, assuming his home, that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Imagine what it would have been like to have been in that moment. I mean, just stop for a second and think about what it would have been like to be crammed into Jesus' house as Jesus preached the word to you. Some men, verse 3, came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by 4 of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus. And after digging through it, they lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." I want to kind of invite us to immerse ourselves into this story together here this morning. And so I wonder whether you would take a moment and just open kind of the imagination of your heart and just picture what this moment would have been like. So come with me for a sec. You have lived in Capernaum your whole life. You were born there and you grew up there. At the time that Jesus was ministering, Capernaum was about 150 families strong, a relatively medium-sized village or town for the Galilee region. And you had lived there all your life, and out of 150 families, that probably meant there was about 1,000 people that lived in the village. So you knew people pretty well. You understood the families and their dynamics, and you considered yourself it was a privilege because you were living in Capernaum at a time that something incredible has happened. One of your own from your very village has gone on into the region of Galilee, and people are saying that he's a prophet. And you've been hearing stories about this one of your villages. You've heard these crazy stories. Stories that this one has actually raised people from the dead. You've heard stories about him praying over just a couple of fishes and some loaves and feeding 5,000 people. You've heard that this one has the ability to forgive sin. People are even saying that could possibly this one be the Messiah that we're longing for. And now you've heard that this prophet has come home, back to Capernaum. And you and the rest of the village have wanted to hear him. And you could not wait, so you got there super early. You're Singaporean, so you got into the house early before the crowds were there. And you found yourself right there next to Jesus. And you could not believe it. It was like the whole village was there. The place was packed. It was even overflowing outside the door. It was almost like you could barely take a breath how packed in you were into this room. And there's Jesus standing in the center of the room. And he's teaching about the kingdom of God. As you're looking at him, about halfway through his message, you hear a scratching sound. And it's a strange sound, and you think immediately that maybe this is a rat or something, and you look around on the ground to see if you can see a rat. But as the scratching continues, you and some of your neighbors suddenly realize that it's actually coming from the ceiling. And so you look up in the ceiling, and funnily enough, Jesus is also hearing this, and he looks up as well. And suddenly, dirt begins to fall from the ceiling. It lands on the people that are sitting around you. Clumps of dirt lands on Jesus' shoulders. And everybody's like, and then suddenly, as you're looking up, you see what appears to be fingers. Fingers scratching away and making a hole in the roof. And before you can even begin to get your head around it, suddenly there's like a cloth or a sheet being lowered from the hole in the roof. And as it gets down to about your head height, you can see that there's a person lying on the mat. And as the mat descends down, it comes and it rests at the feet of Jesus. And everybody in the room is silent. And Jesus looks up at the hole in the roof, and everybody in the room looks up at the hole in the roof. And you see four faces peering in, looking really nervous. And Jesus looks at the four on the roof, but you're looking at Jesus. And you can see a glint of admiration in Jesus' eyes. And he turns and he says to the man on the mat, "Son, your sins are forgiven. Pick up your mat and be on your way." Now, if you had not been there, there's no way you would have believed what happened next. But this man, he sits up immediately. In fact, he stands up and uses his legs like he had never used them before. He starts jumping up and down. He rolls up his mat, puts it under his arm, and with tears in his face, he runs out the house. And all of you are looking up at the four men who are facing into the roof. And they've got tears in their eyes as well. And as you look at Jesus, and Jesus looks at them, and everybody's looking around, you find, as you stare at the men on the roof, that there's a glint of admiration in your eye too. Wouldn't it have been amazing to have been there? To actually have experienced that moment? To see Jesus do something in the Gospels that he has never done and will never do again. I'm not talking about a miracle, as amazing as that was. Jesus did lots of miracles. But it was how he does this miracle that changes everything. And to show you that, let me pick this back up in verse 5 again. Notice what it says in verse 5. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. I want you to get your head around this because this just blows my mind. In this moment, Jesus does not heal the paralytic man on the mat because of his faith. Which when you see all the other miracles of God coming through in someone's life, it's because they exhibit great faith. But in this moment, the scriptures say Jesus looks up and he sees their faith and he heals this man. That blows my theology. Because in this example, we have an example of the opposite happening to what we would normally expect. I don't know about you, but if you've been coming to church for some time, you've probably heard multiple preachers preach the message that if only you have just a little bit of faith inside of you, God can come and do your miracle. That it's all about finding some faith within you. And if you can hold on to faith, even in the dark and the hard times, then you can expect that God will come through to you. Even a little kernel of a mustard seed of faith in you can move mountains. Your miracle, your breakthrough can come if you can find faith within you. And here's a story where the opposite happens. Where there's nothing in the story about the paralytic man's faith. Instead, Jesus sees the four men on the roof's faith and he heals the man. That blows me away. That actually invites us into a new understanding about the ways in which Jesus works in a community. This is what I call a community of faith. Where we get the great privilege of being in an environment by which the people around us faith can bring a breakthrough for us. That even if I'm not carrying a faith, even if I'm in a season where I feel like I don't have anything to offer, maybe I'm wrestling with sin, maybe I'm wrestling with doubt, maybe I feel like I just don't have it together right now, I can be a part of a church, a community of faith, knowing that there are going to be some people on the roof gathered around me, lowering me to the feet of Jesus, and on their faith, God can do something in my life. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a church I want to be involved in. That sounds like a fantastic place to go on a Sunday. You see, there's something truly prophetic and powerful about a community of people who together hold faith on behalf of another. Say that again. There's something truly prophetic and powerful about a community of faith who hold together faith on behalf of another. And this, I think, opens us up to new understandings of what church should all be about. I mean, what we see in the scripture is something about church that I think we have to understand even before we come to see church. You've got to remember, this is a long time before the church begins. It's not until the death and resurrection of Jesus and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the disciples in the upper room in Acts chapter 2. It's not until the disciples and the apostles begin to build and plant churches and someone like the apostle Paul begins to structure church and think about what it is to gather together. That's all ahead. But in this moment, I think we see a story of what the church should all be about. This invitation to being a community of faith. I think this should be the posture of your heart when you come in on a Sunday morning. You should think of yourself, I'm like one of the four on the roof. I'm like the ones who get to come into this church at SJSM and say, I'm not just going to sit around here, I'm actually going to do some work. It's interesting, when the Apostle Paul writes about the church in Ephesians 4, when he speaks to the church in Ephesus about the grand vision of what church is, he says, look, you've got to understand that God gives these gifts, prophets and teachers and pastors and evangelists. He gives these gifts within the church. And he says this very important thing. He says, so as to prepare the people in the church for works of service. He does not say to prepare the people in the church to sit in a pew only. He does not say to prepare the pastors of the church to be able to do all the work. He says there's these gifts in the church body to prepare all the people of the church for works of service. In other words, Paul's got in his mind the four people on the roof, the ones who are digging holes in order to bring the paralytic to Jesus. And Paul says when these works of service happen amongst us, the church community is built up in faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, so we would become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What a beautiful vision. Paul says this is what the church should be doing, making you more like Christ Jesus. And here's how the church does that. Not because there are some amazing clergy and you have some amazing clergy. But the reason why you become more like Christ Jesus is because you're serving one another. Because the acts of service together are building one another up. Because you are the four people on the roof doing whatever it takes to bring each other before Jesus, holding faith on behalf of the other. Now, I know that that is God's vision for church. But I also find that vision really challenging. And let me explain why I find it challenging. If I immerse myself back into this story, the question I need to ask myself is, where would I be in this story? Let me tell you where I think I would be. I would be one of the people sitting in the room. I managed to get in the room because I'm Singaporean and I got in early. And I would have been one of the ones sitting in the room watching and admiring the faith of others. I would have been one of those sitting there going, wow, what is that up there? Oh my gosh, what is that sheet? Oh, it's a paralyzed man. Oh, Jesus just healed him. I cannot believe that. Wow, they have such great faith. In other words, if I'm honest with you, I think if I put myself in this story, I'm most likely to be a spectator. I'm most likely to be sitting there looking up. And I think the text asks us all a challenging question. Am I one who would be willing to dig in a roof and lower somebody down to Jesus? Or am I more of a spectator? When it comes to helping others, am I a passionate digger? Or am I a distant observer? Let me give you my honest answer. And I would say it this way. I don't think the paralytic would have wanted me as a friend. Because I'm British. And us British people, we don't like to upset anyone. We don't like to push through. And I can imagine if I was one of the four people with the stretcher, because we're not Singaporean, we would have shown up late and we couldn't get in. The place was full, it was packed. And here's what I would have done if I was one of the four on the stretcher getting to the place where Jesus was, wanting Jesus to heal my friend, but seeing a crowd outside the door, I would have been like, oh no, we came late. Oh darn, no, we can't go in. No, 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 we don't want to bother Jesus. He's busy right now. He's preaching. No, 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 we don't want to do that. No, well, let's come back tomorrow. The first obstacle, I would have turned around and run in the other direction. I think the paralytic's very grateful that none of the four people around the stretcher were British that day. And I think, can you imagine what the conversation must have been like by the four people on the stretcher? Here's my idea of what the conversation was like. So here they come. Oh no, there's a wall of people. Number one, man number one, he would have been like, oh no, there's a lot of people. What do we do? Number two, oh my gosh, we should have come early. Number one, I know, I told you we should have come early. I know, I'm sorry, but look, we're here now. What are we going to do? Number one. Number three, standing at the back, I have an idea. Number one saying, what is your idea? Number three saying, I think we could go up the roof, dig a hole and lower him down. Number two, are you crazy? Number four, I saw a ladder just around the side. There's a ladder there. You, what? A ladder? Really? Yes, there's a ladder. Okay, we could do this. Do you really think we could do this? We could totally do this. Are you seriously thinking about making a hole in the roof of Jesus' house? Yes, I am. He will forgive us. So something like that, right? Like there must have been some sort of conversation. They go up onto the roof. They start digging a hole because they have faith on behalf of the other. They let this guy down. They peer in nervously. Jesus sees their faith, moved by compassion, heals the man, and the church is born. Something takes place in that moment where Jesus is like, this is what the gathered group of people should look like. I think the church is desperately in need and globally right now with a bunch of people who are willing to dig holes in roofs. Ones who are not going to be stuck by the first obstacle. Ones who believe that the gospel should be in all corners of society. And that when there's pushback, when there's slander, when there's accusation, when there's walls of opposition, they don't just go, okay, I guess we'll come back another day. But they come up with an idea to press in and press beyond because they believe that Jesus can do all things. Having faith that Jesus can answer the great questions that society is asking for, knowing that we have the only answer to people's pain and problems. I think God is looking for a church where we're willing to dig roofs all over the place, lowering people down, trusting that Jesus will do what he can do, holding faith on behalf of the other. So the question we should be asking ourselves as SJFM is this. Are we going to sit in the room or are we going to dig on the roof? I think that's the question before you in the season of your church life. What's your choice? Are you going to sit in the room or every Sunday when you come in think, I'm on the roof? And who today can I let down to the feet of Jesus? There's another lesson here that I want to just highlight, which I think is also important. I think we need to realize when we look at this story that we can both be the people on the roof, but I think we can also be at times the person on the stretcher. I mean, think about it. There are seasons in your life where, if you're anything like me, in your journey as a Christian, there are going to be seasons in your life where you're going to feel like the people on the roof. Were you going to feel like, I don't know, I've been doing my Bible studies, I've been meeting with my community groups, I've been feeling God's word and it's alive in me and I'm excited, man. I want to pray for people. I want to speak prophetically over people. I think God's doing something through me. I think I've got something to offer. There's going to be seasons in your life where you're going to feel the wind of the Spirit inside of you that's filling you and empowering you to do more. If you're in this room right now and you're like, that's the season I know I'm in, can I encourage you, fan into flame that time. There's a reason why the Lord has put an anointing on you for this hour. And if you feel that way, make your voice heard. Begin to serve. Look for opportunity. Use your gifts. The wind of the Spirit is upon you and your church needs you. But if you're anything like me as well, you'll know that there are some seasons in your life where you're not the person on the roof. You're not even the spectator sitting around admiring everything else. You honestly would say you're on the stretcher. This is the beautiful thing about the community of faith. Because if church is really the way that Christ desires it to be, you should be able to come in here at any time and be totally honest with where you're at. This should be a safe place, a community, a family together, where you can come in and go, you know what? There was a season where I was on the roof, but right now I know I'm on a stretcher. I'm struggling right now. My marriage isn't going well. There's stuff going on in my marriage. Pastor, if you just understood, it was a minor miracle that I even just got to church today. Well, I'm wrestling with some stuff at work, and I know that I've made some mistakes at work, and that's weighing heavily on me. Or maybe physically there's just something going on and I've got a diagnosis that I haven't been telling anyone about, but it's something that's deep and I'm scared. Whatever it might be, I can imagine that there's a number of us in this room right now where you're in a season of being on the stretcher. And so if that resonates with you, let me encourage you with this. Don't fight the stretcher. Sometimes as Christians, we think that we should never be on the stretcher. As Christians, we think we should always be victorious and glorious and everything's perfect in our lives. Sometimes as Christians, we try to convince ourselves that it's never okay to admit that we're not okay. The beautiful thing about church is that if there's ever a place in society where you can come, hold faith, believe in Jesus, but say, I'm struggling, this should be the place. And so if you are in a season where you're on the stretcher, can I just encourage you to be honest about it, to be open about it? Here's what happens to many of us when we're in a season of stretcher in our lives. We keep it private. We don't want anyone to know about it. Maybe we're embarrassed about it. Maybe we think if we let people know, we're putting a burden on them that we don't want to put on. Or maybe we're afraid to share because we don't know how people will react. Maybe if they really found out the sin that is in my life, they would no longer want me at their church. There are many reasons why I think when we're on a stretcher, we want to keep it private. Here's the amazing thing in this story. We don't know anything in this story about the paralytic man's faith. We actually don't know anything about him at all, other than the fact that he was paralyzed. But here's one other glimpse that we get into who he was. He was willing to make his condition public. See, the paralytic, when the friends came to him and said, hey, Jesus is back home. He's holding a meeting in his house, and we've heard about his miracles. This could be your chance to be set free. The paralytic didn't say, no, I want to keep that private. No, I don't want to admit it. I don't want to make a show. I don't want everybody to see. What if he doesn't heal? Or the paralytic could have quite easily said, hey, why don't we invite Jesus for lunch tomorrow? And in the privacy of my home, maybe he can do something. We don't know what the conversation exactly was, but somehow the paralytic was willing to make his condition public, was willing to be let down on that sheet through that hole, was willing to be placed before the feet of Jesus just for the hope that on their faith, Jesus might do something. And so can I encourage you, if you're in a season on the stretcher, the temptation, what the enemy will try to do is say, you need to keep it private. Can I encourage you to not keep it private? You don't have to tell it to everybody everywhere. You don't have to hang your dirty laundry for everyone to see. But you've got trusted people around you, friends, family, maybe your pastors, whoever it might be that you're in relationship with here spiritually, who can be the four friends on the roof for you in your season of being on the stretcher. And they will pray and they will stand with you. They'll be confidential. They will love you and they will lift you up. So this story gives us a picture of the church, and it challenges us in three postures: spectator, on the roof, on the stretcher. And the text asks you to think about which one resonates most with you. If you're a spectator here and you recognize that that's what the Spirit is challenging you with today, can I just humbly but firmly say to you, it's time to wake up. That this is not the hour for the church to be filled with spectators. This is not the time to fill a pew. This is not the time to come and just consume. With what's happening in the world and what the Lord is wanting to do through his church in the world in this hour, he needs people on the roof. So if you're a spectator, I bless you to realize that the Lord is saying, stand up, wake up, get involved. If you're one of the four on the roof, can I just encourage you to lean into it? Pray about it, fan into flame what the Spirit is doing, ask others to pray for you. And can I invite you to be bold and courageous in sharing what it is that the Lord has put on your heart, prophetically serving the community here at SJSM. And if this is a time for you where you're on the stretcher, resist the urge to keep that private, but be honest with the family of Christ that the Lord has placed you in. And know that even if you feel like you've no longer got faith for yourself, Jesus sometimes heals off of the faith of others. Amen. Can we pray together? Let's pray. Father, I'm so grateful for the incredible people in this room. Father, thank you for this invitation. This passage brings us in the Gospels to a picture of church. We thank you that we have a story where Jesus heals off of the faith of others, creating this community of faith. And Lord, for those in this room particularly who are in a stretcher season, I wonder if we could as a community just take a moment to pray for those in this room who are in a stretcher season. Father, we want to just lift them up before you like the four men in the roof. And Father, we want to pray for anyone who's feeling struggling with their sin or their brokenness, that they would know that in Christ, as we come to communion in a moment, we have forgiveness of sins and the fullness of life. For those who are battling with sickness, a disease, a condition, Father, we pray for the healing power that is in your hands. Lord, for those who maybe just because of stuff that's happening in life feel overwhelmed, anxious, fearful, maybe something at work, maybe something within the family. Father, for those that are feeling fear, and that fear is tiring them out and lying them on the stretcher, Father, we pray that perfect love would cast out fear. That for those who are anxious, they would find comfort in the presence of their Savior. Those who need your touch would feel it here in this moment. Lord, for the spectators in this room, Lord, I pray that this word would be a challenge to them. For the four on the roof in this room, I pray that they would feel that this word is a releasing to them for all the things that are ahead. Lord, we thank you for SJSM and this incredible community. Lord, we pray for the prophetic and powerful work ahead that is before them as they serve one another as the community of faith. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Everyone says, amen. Amen.
We want to thank God for Pastor Andrew for bringing God's word to us all this morning. And I believe the Lord has spoken, whether you're on the roof, on the stretcher, or just being here. May the peace of the Lord be with us. Let us stand. We are the body of Christ. In the one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. And the peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's go around and share the peace of the Lord with one another.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you, Helen. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Thank you for your worship today, huh?
Good
morning.
Appreciate it. Peace of the Lord.
Bless you.
Okay. Yeah.
Your sister.
Please remain standing as we take up the offertory.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. Yeah.